Holly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yeah, and we got a Bears game this weekend. Game two, the Bears with a chance to stay perfect, Mr. David.
Morning, Molly. Yes, happy Friday, our lucky day, Friday the 13th. And the Bears get ready for the Texans on Sunday Night Football. The Rome Odunze issue looms. I don't think he's going to play. He's not been practicing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been the theme all week. I'm more concerned about Keenan Allen, and I do wonder about what his prolonged absence from practice means for his season, because you think Odunze will come back. He's tough. He's a guy that recovered from a punctured lung in 1 week. You figure he's going to be back eventually. I do start to wonder about Keenan Allen the longer he's away and what that means for the Bears' passing game this year.
Yeah, I know you've expressed your idea that he needs to practice just so he can develop some chemistry with the quarterback. I just think he needs to play right now. I think you're right. He's got a heel issue that felled him last year, finished his season, and he hasn't really practiced very much. But he's kind of a gamer, and I'm hoping that he's – is a veteran player able to kind of answer the bell when it matters most. But I do agree that at some point, you don't want that to go on the entire course of the season.
Yeah, that would be awkward. But this is an opportunity for him, for the Bears, for Caleb Williams. C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, Texans, Bears, primetime Sunday. This is a marquee matchup. As tough of an opponent, as tough of a venue and challenge as the Bears, I think, may face this year. Not a great matchup. We'll continue to talk about that. Our predictions are coming.
Yes.
Ready or not. But I think that if you are excited about this season, it will hit a fever pitch Sunday night. You will be waiting all day for Sunday night, as Carrie Underwood likes to say.
Yeah, I think it's fun to have this go on. It's fun to have a nationally televised game. I'm very curious to see the impact of the nationally televised game on the quarterback. I feel like this is a crazy thing to say. I feel like he's a guy that kind of likes the big time, likes the big moment, really will be at his best when it counts the most. And we saw like that wasn't the case in the opener, that he wasn't at his best for a number of reasons.
Might not have been bright enough lights.
But, well.
It was his debut, I understand. But you're right in identifying this quarterback being somebody who embraces these kind of opportunities rather than resists them.
He's ready for prime time.
He is ready for prime time. And he was made for this type of thing.
That's the kind of thing that I'm kind of hoping. I don't know that improves his game. I'm hoping that it improves the game plan, that it improves everybody around him, and that he gets to show what he can do. I think it's interesting, even when you hear not just opposing analysts, but really kind of quarterbacks. You know, he will find his rhythm is one of the things that you heard from C.J. Stroud. And I thought to myself, well, that's exactly what happened. He didn't have his rhythm. He had no rhythm. It was a very
clunky. It was clunky.
Thank you. Awkward sort of opening game. And down to the game plan, certainly the blocking, definitely him.
It was a perfect storm of inadequacy, I guess. Because you look at the play call did not have consistency. The offensive line was leaky. And Caleb Williams was out of rhythm. All those things we said about coming in time, on time, didn't happen. And I do think that when you look at the improvement, and you know how steep the incline is between week one and week two in terms of improvement. C.J. Stroud last year had a pretty pedestrian opener in his debut. 384 he passed for in his second game. Not saying that's going to be Caleb Williams this week. The opponent is difficult. But I will say this, as we'll continue to look at it, the Texans have edge rushers that you fear. They have a defense you respect. But they also have one game on tape where they gave up three plays of 50 or more yards in the passing game. That's an opportunity. That's a good chance for Caleb Williams to hit a big play, regain some confidence if he's lost it at all. I don't think he has. But to get going and to be Mr. Primetime, the way you're describing, I think this is a good chance for Caleb Williams to do just that.
There was a game last night. We talked about it before the game, the showdown between the Bills and the Dolphins. It's not a good game for the Dolphins, seemingly, ever. But last night was whatever concerns you may have had about their performance, about the problems that they have, generally speaking, against the Bills. Obviously, the greater concern now is about Tua Tagovailoa, the concussion that he suffered last night. He had to leave the game. Scary, scary stuff. And I thought that I thought that Josh Allen in the post game saying that it's the worst part of football. I thought that was the key quote to.
You can't help but feel for him. He's a great football player, but he's an even greater human being. He's one of the best humans on the planet. You know, I got a lot of love for him, and I'm just praying for him and his family and hoping everything's okay. But yeah, it's tough, man. This game of football that we play, it's got its highs and it's got its lows, and that's definitely one of the lows.
Josh Allen's all class.
It was tough.
It's tough. It was tough to watch. And I think that when you saw the play, the ultimate irony being DeMar Hamlin being the safety who made the tackle that created the concussion, and Tua lowered his head. Mm. Hamlin made a tackle in the open field, and you sensed immediately when he reacted the way he did and he lay there that this was going to be the case. It reminded everyone, obviously, of what we saw on national television a couple years ago.
Yeah,
when this conversation
Thursday night, right in Cleveland, he got stretchered off the field.
Was it a Thursday night?
I think it was a Thursday night.
Yeah, and then the conversation the next day and what ensued, and so DeMar Hamlin making the tackle, somebody who nearly lost his life on the field, making a tackle that could, the way the rhetoric was post game, made a tackle that could conceivably end to his season or his career.
Yeah.
You wonder if it's that bad. You wonder what the next step will be. A lot of people giving Tua a lot of free advice this morning and last night. It's a tough one because this isn't the biggest part of it, because it is, you know, his livelihood. He is an exceptional human being, as people will describe him. The Dolphins just signed him to a $212 million contract. They invested a small fortune in his future.
Yep.
Maybe in retrospect, people should have been asking these questions at that point of not only, if you're Tua, obviously, you want to play football, you want to sign that contract, you can't reach for the pen quickly enough. The Dolphins invested in him. Did they not think this was going to be, how possible do you think that they thought this was? When they did all this.
They clearly did not take it under consideration when they decided to give him the deal that he got. I mean, he got tons of money, and I don't know how you're supposed to go about that. I mean, you can't put language in a contract saying anything. Here's the problem. His third concussion that we know of, right? I mean, I'm just being like, that is his third serious concussion that we know of.
It is. And so moving forward, I bring up the contract because that will play no small part, I think, in his decision. Don't you believe that? Or is that naive to consider? Everyone wants to say the same thing, and everyone obviously with the heart and understands the humanity of this and how violent of a game football is, you want him to make the best decision for himself and his family and his health. That almost goes without saying. I bring up the contract because I do wonder what role it will play in the Dolphins conversation and contribution to this discussion. They have a lot invested in him playing quarterback. And they also have a lot invested in the human being and him staying whole.
Well,
how difficult of a balance is that to strike?
I was telling you earlier that I was at Hallis Hall when Merrill Hodge was forced to retire because of concussions. And there were only, after the news conference came out, he sat down and just announced that he was retiring, whatever. And then he sat there, and we kind of hung around a while and just chatted with him. And he said at one point, like someone asked him, like, how bad is it? How is his memory impacted? And he said, well, I don't remember the what I answered to the last question. I don't even know what you guys just asked me. Like, it was scary, man. Mm-hmm. It was really scary. And I think that if there's a situation like that, then there's not a decision to make, you know? Like was it Al Toon that had to be in the dark rooms with the lights off because light?
One of many examples.
But
it's not as clear-cut as that anymore.
No, it's not.
I don't think it is.
But here's the other element.
And I'm not saying that from my perspective. I'm trying to describe the conflicted feelings that Tua and the Dolphins must have given what's at stake now.
But what I'm saying is, because of all of these concussions in the past and all of the brain problems that exist in the game, they do kind of a base look at the brain, and they do that periodically. Mm-hmm. So before the season will have started, they'll have a look at his brain. They will know how the brain is operating and the structure.
There's a baseline. There's a baseline test.
And so when you look at that, you'll be able to see if there is anything different going on in the short term or in the long term. Here's the problem: that generally speaking, the belief is that the experience of having a concussion can lead to the next concussion and to a worse concussion. So it's like once you get on the slippery slope,
it's a steady decline, or a not so steady decline, but it's a decline.
And
everyone becomes worse than the previous one.
And he has a contract, and I'm sure it's insured, and I'm sure he's taken care of, and that's not the worry here. But you're right. The reality about the humanity, you know, the man himself. Do you have, like, he's a married man. I don't know. I don't know. Does he have kids or not? But you have to look at your life, and you have to evaluate all that stuff, and then you have to it's not how much does the game mean to you, but do you want to keep going? Can you keep going?
I understand, and I echo that. I support that, and I would tell him the same thing.
Yeah.
If I were his best friend or his advisor or his teammate, I would say that all these things are true, that you have to make a decision that's in the best interest of your long-term health and welfare and your family and all those things. Molly, but we both know this, that to many of these guys, and I don't know if Tua is one of these guys, football is their life. And they will assume these risks, because not just because the small fortune that they can amass, but also because I don't know if they know what else to do. I don't know if they know where else to turn. This is the way they're wired. I bet you. I don't want to presume anything about Tua because I don't know him. But we all know guys and have covered players. I can't remove myself from this equation. If I were in this position, I don't know that I would want all this free advice to walk away. I would wonder about when I could come back. That's probably the first instinct.
Of course.
But so you need somebody to make a decision that's in his best interest, who he trusts, and who he believes is telling him something that has a context of knowing him.
When you suffer a brain injury, they call it the fencing pose, where like one of your arms goes out and then another arm might be protecting.
That's
yourself.
What we saw the last time he did this.
We saw that last night. We saw him with his arm out and we saw the claw with his hand. I got to tell you, my advice to him would be, son, like, just stop what you're doing. Take a month. Take 2 months. Don't think about football. Well, think about the world. I'm just saying.
Well, this season, there's no question that he's going to be out indefinitely.
Right.
I think the broader conversation has been about Tua walking away from football, period.
Right.
And that, I think, those are two different things. I don't think there's any question that the Dolphins, from a football perspective, have a problem on their hands because their quarterback is going to be out for the very near future and probably potentially the entire season. But I think that the people who expect him to wake up this morning and conclude that he's walking away from the game that has been this good to him and is part of who he is and his identity.
Well, I don't think today's not his,
today's not the day.
No.
But people have already jumped to that.
We've
heard the pundits and it's on, you know, a lot of the and we'll hear it all day throughout the course and talk shows everywhere.
Right.
Tua needs to walk away from football. Tua needs to quit playing football. I understand why people would say that. I'm not convinced that I won't believe that, but I think that there's a time and place to make that decision. I don't think he's there yet.
I just think that the fencing pose, it's my understanding, signifies a pretty serious brain injury. And you know, that we saw that, and we've seen that before, and I just – it's incredibly disturbing. And, you know, again, with a history of concussions, don't you remember he was trying to learn how to fall? Remember that? He was taking some martial arts to learn how to fall.
Every conversation about Tua Tagovailoa in the last several years about where he fits and how he compares to other quarterbacks and what he's capable of doing for the Miami Dolphins, the backdrop to every conversation is, can he stay on the field? What about this concussion past? When will it resurface? Unfortunately, last night, that question was answered. And the Dolphins... you know, you look at it, it's very much a mixture of emotions, because they have his best interests at heart. They have a football season they have football decisions to make too this morning, and I think that they would be wise to probably just plan on moving on because of how serious that looked.
It looked serious for this season. Tell you what, it was frightening. It really was. It just looked so scary. And there is, you know, DeMar Hamlin had nothing to do with. I mean, he was just the guy that was filling the lane.
It was not a helmet to helmet hit.
No, but it was a dipped helmet.
Yeah.
It was to his head going down, and then
he dropped his head.
Yeah,
and he dropped his head. He should not have done that.
No,
and it's hard to tell somebody in that situation what to do. No, Hamlin was.
But I'm just saying, he very nearly died on the field a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that injury, there was some kind of weird kind of configuration of events that shocked you a little bit.
Well, I think the common thread that ties them both together is that you had two people in the play that we're all talking about, the nation is talking about this morning, who in many people's minds had no business being on the field playing football.
Yeah.
Because DeMar Hamlin, why would he come back? You know why?
Right.
He can't imagine his life without football. Tua, why is he out there? Well, the Dolphins signed him to a $250 million contract, $250 million, to play the game that he can't imagine living without. So you're right. There's rich irony there in terms of DeMar Hamlin making a tackle on Tua that's going to maybe end his career or end his season. And I would like to hear what DeMar Hamlin had to say about that. I don't think we have that.
No.
did not hear or see what he had to say after the game, but I would love to hear his perspective.
But, for the record, the Bills won going away. They have beaten Josh Allen kind of owns the Dolphins. Not a real surprise there. I wasn't overly excited for the game, part for that reason. They won 31-10, but holy cow. I mean, you want to talk about
Well, football-wise, even before the injury, Tua was not very good.
No.
He was inaccurate. No. He was ineffective, inconsistent, all the things that put them in a hole that I was surprised they were in. I thought the Dolphins were going to have a special type of season this year. They had all the weapons. Mm-hmm. And Mike McDaniel, they got the coach with the contract extension. Tua had, you know, his security. And something like this happens, and all those other football projections seem a little bit secondary, because you have a young man now who might not be able to play the game that he loves, and he's not going to be part of it. So that's rough.
Right. Really, very difficult, though, to see, and really tough to contemplate the future of the player. And, you know, again, I thought that Josh Allen saying that it was the worst thing in the game, and it was there front and center. It's very difficult to to enjoy anything else after that, right? It's very difficult to have like a sober conversation about anything when you see that sort of
thing. Well, I think when players see that, everyone, you know, personalizes it and puts himself in a situation. It's such a violent sport.
Right.
And it's such a violent sport that is more popular than ever.
Yeah, it's a violent sport that can be over at any minute.
But for any one of those players on the field.